Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
BT, BT and Sal back on the Fan, 888-808-1019. We're talking Pete Alonso and the Mets. We started the show with that at 10 o'clock. Then Andy Martino wrote a column, and we reset that with the info that the Mets are going to hold firm here as they're weighing other options, including inquiring about Vladimir Guerrero Jr., who himself set a deadline to the Blue Jays. If there is no extension before the first day of spring training, he will not talk extension in year, which would indicate to me that that means the Blue Jays more likely to trade him, whether it be in the spring or at the All-Star deadline, or excuse me, at the All-Star break, before the trade deadline in season. So all those could be options for the Mets, depending on what they do with Pete Alonso. And I guess the Mets have their price where they feel comfortable with bringing Pete back, which would keep other things in play, BT. And maybe Pete's counter would take maybe other things out of play. Mets also still looking at a top-end reliever and another bat. So there's a lot going on, according to Andy Martino of SNY.TV.
There's a lot there. I really, really, really like Vlad. As I've said before, I think there's a bit of an inflation as to the player that he really is. We've talked about this a little bit here, but since it seems to be more of an option for the Mets, I think we can kick it around a little bit more before we get back to these calls. 888-808-1019. I got them all.
Okay.
I just don't love wild fluctuations. And I know batting average is obviously an older stat, but just roll with me for a minute. 272, 262, 311, 274, 264, 323. Now, he had the one massive year where he had 48 bombs. That was also when he batted 311. But, you know, generally he's mid to low 30 home runs. He's not like a 120, 130 RBI guy. He doesn't steal, obviously. You know, his body type is a bit of a concern, not to shame him, but yeah, I don't know how he's going to age. And, you know, even the OPS, you know, 770, 790, 1000, 818, 780, like it's all over the map. So, you know, he's not Aaron Judge. He's not Juan Soto. He's not Mookie Betts. He's not, I know he's not Witt. I don't think he's going to be a Gunnar Henderson, obviously a very different position. You know, he's not Otani. He's the next tier. And number one, do you agree with that? And if you do believe he's the next tier, are you still okay with playing this game of chicken with Pete?
Yes. He's also not Pete Alonso. He's going to be 26 this year. He's a far better hitter, even with the inconsistencies, a career 288 hitter with the potential to be a 300 hitter. He had a 940 OPS a year ago. I'd rather the 30 and 100 sit at 30 and 100 roughly than the 48, like the spikes. He could be 280, 30, 100. Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah.
And a stat you didn't bring up there.
Go ahead.
What's one thing that you know about Vladimir Guerrero Jr. as far as his like or dislike for certain teams in town?
Oh, he hates the Yankees.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Come on. He hates the Yankees.
Yeah.
Imagine Soto and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. as Mets hating the Yankees. Oh, come on, BT. That's a dream.
Yeah, for you. I feel like he's kind of thawed on that hatred. I think
maybe.
He's kind of contextualized things a little bit.
Let me have some fun. Well, you can have the Johnnies.
Yeah. Well, you're going to have the Johnnies, too. You're going to have a better seat than me. I'm going to be up in the rafters doing a game with Mink where I hate that it's not St. John's fault. It's the Garden. I'm just looking at this. All right, yeah, I thought so. Yes, Toronto's baseball stadium is generally considered a good hitter's park, meaning it's favorable for hitters to hit home runs. So does that play into it? So I thought Toronto was one of the, it's not quite Philly, but But it's definitely advantageous to hitter statistics. It's been proven over the years.
I don't think the fluctuations are as bad as they may appear.
Well, like, the batting average is a lot of dips. Go ahead.
I mean, there's a lot of high. Okay, the dip.
There's two high marks, and there's about four or five where you're like, eh.
Okay, the dip is 264.
No, I'm not saying it dips down.
I'm just saying, like, Pete is nowhere. Like, comparing the two players.
I'm not comparing it. I'm comparing him to the best of the game. He's much better than Pete. I'm not going to waste your time.
And remember, on the Mets, he doesn't need to be the best. They have Soto.
Mm-hmm.
They have Lindor, Soto. Oh, my God.
Fair enough.
Lindor, Soto, and Vlad
and
Jr.
Vientos.
Exactly. Like,
yeah. I just wanted to make sure.
I would put those four on par with eight. Like, and I'm not saying that they're the best in the game, but now you're talking. Now you're talking Dodgers, Braves, Phillies, Yankees.
Mega team.
Dude,
at least a mega offense.
He's another star. Yeah, exactly. The pitching is nowhere near the other teams, and that's another problem, but that's also Stern's philosophy. And I kind of agree with that, where I would not overextend or pay for big free agent pitchers, no matter how old they are. Like, I'm not going 8 years for Fried, although he would have been the one that I would have invested in.
Over Burns,
You get the point. Like, do I love Clay Holmes as a starter? No. Do I love Montas? Absolutely not. But I didn't love Seve last year either, and he figured it out. So that's on Stearns. I'm going to leave that to him and trust him until it's proven otherwise. But Lindor, Vientos, Soto, and Vlad?
Well, again, let's get Vlad there first. But now, the staff is an interesting thing here, because if the pitching staff was a lot better, and I agree. I know the pitching coach knows what he's doing.
They had to bring Manaea back.
Oh, no, I love Sean Manaea. I think he's really good. And the other component. And I like Peterson.
You even like Senga more than I do. I like Peterson.
I don't know how you don't like Senga, except that he's hurt and maybe he didn't really rush back. Yeah. But I think we both trust his stuff. You trust, no?
I think he's a good number three. Maybe number two.
He labors a little bit. He's got whatever, but he walks some guys. I know. But if the Mets pitching staff was better, then I'd be more okay with a B-minus type of a lineup. Now, until whether it's young kids in the minors, and that's probably where it's going to come from. I know you got some young flamethrowers coming, including the kid who had surgery, the righty. I'm forgetting his name.
Last year.
He came up. He had a couple of sticks. Didn't look great.
Christian Scott?
Scott. There you go. Thank you.
I couldn't remember his name.
Like football mode, Alonzo, all these names. But I think if the staff is okay, and that's probably what it's going to be, you need more offense.
You need
more offense.
Well, they should have that, especially if we're talking about it. By the way, I'd be okay with Alonzo, but it's certainly not the star power that is Vlad Jr., especially when you factor in his age.
And plus his overall, like, it's just his mojo, his juice, his drip. It'd be insane.
It's a different world. Yeah, imagine the excitement for the Mets fans if that were the case. Anyway, back to the matter at hand, which is Pete Alonzo, 888-808-1019. Steve is in Massapequa. What's up, Steve?
Hey, gentlemen, how are you guys?
Great. What's up?
Hey, Steve.
Listen, 26 days of spring training, these pitches and catches, so certainly really excited. Big, big Pete Alonzo fan, but I think that we have to go back really to this extension. You know, when this extension was offered, I think that's when you had Sentimental Stevie. I think he was offering something that, if you look at it now, Pete Alonzo would be going crazy to get that offer right now. It's not there. And I think now that we lost Sentimental Steve, you guys remember the movie Wall Street with Michael Douglas, right?
Of course.
I think Cohen now is Gecko going, you know what? You turned down my generous offer. Why am I now going to play games with you? I already, and who knows if he did the same thing that was rumored with Soto, you know, we'll pay you $50 million more. How do we know that we don't have that with Alonzo? Go ahead, go get crazy. I'll be $5 million or $10 million more. I think they want Alonzo for a 1 year or a 2 year deal. And with all the Guerrero and Tucker and all these options, there's only so many guys you could sign long term. Right?
So,
I mean,
call,
if you play hardball with Alonzo, get him back for one or two. Why not if nobody else is bidding? And then next year, if it's Guerrero, if it's Tucker, you got the open ability to sign long term.
Well, Steve, they might, but you know, Pete's got to agree to the 1 or the 2 years. I think the Mets would be open to that.
Right.
But Pete's got to say, okay.
I think Steve just nailed it. By the way, let's not forget, it was Billy Epler who was in charge last time, and maybe Steve Cohen felt more of a reason to jump in.
Mm.
Who knows what the case was? And I would give Epler credit in that he said, okay, probably to the owner, too. Hey, you want to get this guy done before he hits free agency? Let's lock him up. 7 years, 168 or 158, whatever it was. It's fair for what the market was then in accordance with Freeman got and Olson, whatever. So let's give him that. And if he doesn't like it, which he didn't, he turned it down,
yeah.
Then the rumors were about the trade. Remember, they were talking about, oh, in field goal range for a trade. That's where the whole thing started to be like, what? Mm-hmm. They're trading Alonzo? Well, that's what was going on behind the scenes. They made an offer that they thought was more than fair. He turned it down. They said, well, we're not going beyond this. Why don't we see what we could get for him in return, potentially? So Epler gets fired. You know what happened there. Here comes Stearns. He's not going to be messing around with anybody. He's going to do things his way, which is how it should be. And Cohen is going to step back. And that's also in Martino's column for SNY.TV saying, I hired the guy. I'm going to let him do what he needs to do in this regard. I'm staying out of it. While also acknowledging Pete had his chance.
Mm-hmm.
The Mets offered him that 6-7 year deal. He turned it down. Now his market is squat. There isn't a market for him. So, yeah, do the Mets want him back? Would they take him back? Sure. At their price, at their terms, which is also the market's terms.
I think the shift in philosophy from Cohen being a little less hands-off here, Stearns has earned that.
Right.
Epler didn't earn that.
Correct.
I mean, think about it. If Severino would have been lit up last year and Montas was a stiff and Iglesias never came up from the minors or, you know, the other moves that they made, I mean, that just Stearns made, not yeah. before he right. got here, I think it just built up a lot of equity with Steve. So even if Steve...
He proved it.
Yeah. Even if maybe a month or so ago, or at least going into the hot stove, so a little more than a month, maybe if Cohen even back then was predisposed to say at some point, all right, I'm going to give him a nudge, get the Pete stuff done. Maybe it just finally hit him like, this guy really knows what he's doing. I'm staying out of his way.
Until proven otherwise,
yeah.
Let him do what he's got to do. Also... with a bigger plan in mind, potentially.
Which I know has been presented to Cohen from Stearns.
Yeah.
There's no doubt.
You would think. Bobby is in Belmore. What's up, Bobby?
Yeah, hi. BT, especially for you.
Hey, Bob.
Who would you rather... Hi, guys. Good afternoon.
Good.
Who would you rather have with the Yankees? Everyone says it's an upgrade, right, with all the moves.
Mm-hmm.
DJ LeMay hasn't played in 2 years, so Bellinger was a 2.11 postseason hitter. Mm-hmm. We've been adding Fried, who's over 5 ERA postseason, and got bombed last year in the playoffs. I know he pitched great in that 2021 World Series, but
yeah.
He has not been good. Or Torres for 1 year, who's at 300 as a leadoff hitter. I know he's a mental head with the base running and the fielding, and he went on base every game of the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, Bob, Bobby, you know where I stand, man. And you're asking me this because you obviously know where I stand on Gleyber Torres. And by the way, very selective and well done on your part to illuminate the deficiencies of the players that you just mentioned. How about the fact that Bellinger's got the highest 2-strike average in baseball? How about the fact that he's got a swing that's tailor made for the short porch in right field? How about the fact that he's an athlete who can actually run and steal 20 or play center or play first if Goldschmidt needs a rest? How about the fact that Fried, in terms of K rate and some of these numbers that really matter, is absolutely elite, like in the 95 percentile in a lot of those categories. I won't bore you with which ones, just trust me. Gleyber Torres is a really, really, I think he's a good guy. I think he was a good player at points. I think he wanted to be a great Yankee. Gleyber Torres was missing the one thing that keeps a good player, maybe with great potential, from becoming great, and he was lazy. He was never fully all in. Judge is possessed. Jeter was possessed. Soto is possessed. Lindor seemingly is possessed to right that ship. Gleyber Torres is a floater, and I've got no interest in trying to win World Series with a guy in the middle of a diamond who didn't react to a ball from the outfield that was 3 feet away from him, almost like Cam Newton not jumping on the fumble in the Super Bowl when you got a guy racing home. I mean, racing around the bags in the World Series, not against the Royals in May. So, no, if you said I could have Gleyber Torres for $5 million, and I mean this, I would say no, because he's a mental midget. He's a mental mess.
I don't understand Bobby's call.
Because, I do.
Why not just make it about Gleyber?
Like, I don't know. That's his creative way of starting the car. It's all good.
But what is... He was made it sound like, would you rather have Bellinger, Fried, LeMahieu, or Gleyber? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I took the hook, you know, chance just, to talk about Torres a little bit.
Yeah, which is fine.
I think I know what he meant. Thanks for the call, Bobby.
That's the fair one. Would you want Torres back? Like, LeMahieu, I don't want. So maybe his point was, would you rather have Jazz at third?
Or Torres at second?
Yeah, Jazz at third and Torres at second.
No, I'd rather have Peraza at second, who could catch the ball, and Jazz at third.
Yeah, or LeMahieu at third and Jazz at second.
I don't want DJ playing.
Me neither,
Now, he might because he's still here, but no.
I'll say this.
That's what we're going to talk to Booty about.
Yeah, just to further your point, I know it's going to come up. Just to further your point, I would even rather have LeMahieu at third and Jazz at second than I would Glaber on this team just because there was no, it's not like even 1 year, $3 million. Like, it was time to move on from Glaber. As a matter of fact, the mistake wasn't letting Glaber go. The mistake was keeping this guy who we all, and then they obviously felt the same way just after the fact, we all always said the same thing about him. He's got his head up his rear end. He's not a winning player.
Yep.
But yet for years, they shoved him down our throat. Then when it comes time to make a decision.
We were right.
Well, they don't want him. They have no interest in him. Okay, well, how do you have no interest in him now, but yet we've been begging for years for you to get rid of him? So he was good enough then because you didn't have any other options or you couldn't find a good trade partner.
Well, that's a big part of it.
Yeah, but that's a problem.
Yeah, like, well, that's why they haven't won a World Series since 2009. Part of it, I mean, you know, not to get down the tourist rabbit hole, but, you know, the thing, and listen, I've got to be honest, and I always have been, I always will be, even if I'm wrong. Like, one of the greatest criticisms I can levy at the Yankees, I could drop this at their doorstep. And I said this to Cashman, and we'll have some fun with Boone, and it'll come up with Booney. I mean, I'll say it respectfully because I respect them, but it'll come up if it does. Like, they allowed him to get away with stuff when he was still impressionable, and he was still in that formative stage as a player, as a young, ascending, impressionable player, loafing around the bases, not always being mentally dialed in, you know, chasing home runs. It just, and they, and once that festers for more than whatever the incubation period is for like a young kid or a young player, once that expires, you can't go back.
How do you know, though, that they let him get away with it?
Because he never changed.
Well,
I know that they broached it. I'm not saying they ignored it.
Well, I'm saying,
but they didn't effectively.
Who's to say that behind closed doors, Boone wasn't like, dude, like year after year, what are we doing here?
Oh, I know.
Mistake after mistake.
Yeah.
Like, it just. Clearly, it never got through.
Then they didn't do a good enough job trying to get it through.
Or maybe just Glaber, like, you could try to get it through to them all
you
want.
Well, how about benching them for a week straight?
Well,
not for a day. I know they benched
them.
I understood. But I'm saying, like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But there's just, it doesn't matter now. There's although I hope it doesn't happen with the next young Yankee, like a Dominguez, whatever it might be. Like, the checkpoints, if you miss one and it's early enough, all right, maybe I can make it. Again, once that expires and they're past arbitration and they're making $14 million instead of $600,000 or $1.2 or $3 million, it's kind of over. You are who you are.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll come back. More of your calls. We've got to get two things, BT, that I want to talk about. We mentioned in the we were talking about this before the show, the Zion stuff with the Knicks. Let's get to that. And also a tweet from the Jets yesterday that could be telling about their future and the quarterback situation. So we'll get to those two topics, as well as your continued calls on Pete Alonso and the Mets' first base situation. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan. BT and Sal back on the Fan. So Zion, BT, it sounds like he may want out of New Orleans. I mean, I feel like this has been going on forever here with Zion Williamson. Here's my question to you. Why in the world, whether Zion wants to come to the Knicks or not, why in the world would the Knicks want him at this particular point in his career?
This is something Isaiah Thomas would do.
Yeah, right, just go chase and bring in big names.
I mean, I couldn't be less interested than Zion Williamson. He's lazy, he's out of shape, he's always hurt. Can't play defense? No thanks.
Yeah.
Zero interest.
I didn't dive too deep into the reports. I saw Stephen A, I guess, was talking about it, saying he knows where Zion wants to go.
Oh, yeah?
The idea that he may be out there. I thought that's what the first report was, but, I mean, Zion to the Knicks, forget
it. He's played 8 games this year.
He's always,
it's the middle of January.
He's never in shape. Ugh. He's always hurt. Like, maybe if you were to tell me before the Knicks made the trade for Anunoby and took off, obviously, and got Bridges and Karl Anthony Towns, like, maybe 2-3 years ago, would I be intrigued by the idea of pairing up R.J. Barrett with Zion, maybe, but now that's the last thing the Knicks need. They need a defensive force to be a rim protector. They don't need Zion Williamson.
I think it's outlandish to even think that they would, you know, that they would be interested in that. I can see why Zion Williamson wants the Garden, even though the Knicks aren't playing very well lately. Me and Sal talked about that yesterday. If you want to get a good recap of where we think the Knicks are, just hit the go to Odyssey Rewind, catch up to speed yesterday's show. No, but that's a move like desperate. All right, let me bring in Quentin Richardson. Let me bring in Stephon Marbury. Let me bring in Eddie Curry. Let me bring in, like, just Stevie Francis. It's a desperate reach to either get people in the building, attract some level of attention. Zion Williamson. And let me ask you this. Like, even if the Knicks were dumb enough to think this way, which I don't think this regime is, who are you giving up to get Zion?
Yeah, nobody.
I mean, you're going to break up. I don't love the way they look now, but I'm not prepared to break it up right now. What are you doing?
And the Knicks probably avoided. I'm just trying to read some stuff here. Daily Knicks had some stuff on it. There was a chance that the Knicks could have got Zion Williamson. I never wanted them even in the draft.
No, I did.
I wanted John Morant. Yeah, I mean, would I have taken Zion? Sure. But again, I'm always of the belief, especially with Zion, like there were still questions. It wasn't like the no doubt about it, number one. But I always try to steer clear of these clear number one. Oh, he can't miss, guys. Look at the Sixers missing for years. I always think back to the Greg Oden trade.
God.
Well, because I wanted...
That was Durant.
Yeah, I wanted Durant.
So did I. That one I got right. That one right.
Right. Now, look, we've all got some wrong. We've all got some right. But point is, it's never a surefire thing. And at that time where the Knicks were supposed to have the number one pick, I wanted Ja Morant. I would have settled for Zion or Ja Morant. They ended up, of course, with R.J. Barrett in the number three pick, which was far from both. But Zion has had a terribly disappointing career.
And, well, listen, you know, it is a little hit or miss, especially nowadays, because you don't even know who these first overall picks are in some instances. I mean, it's getting more and more. I'm getting less and less. And I do college games. I'm getting less and less familiar with who the hell these players are. I mean, It's really hard to keep up. They're here for a year. They're not. But I'll tell you this. You will not get this wrong. The kid who's going one this year, Cooper Flagg from Duke, I promise you, no one's getting that one wrong. He is ridiculous.
You know what's great? Unlike the Jets and the Giants, as far as the Knicks are concerned,
yeah.
Don't even care about the draft.
Yeah, not my concern.
That's how I want it as a sports fan. I don't want to worry about the stinking draft and where they're picking and who they could get. Don't care. Figure it out. We got bigger things at hand. You're trying to win a championship.
Well, we definitely
as opposed to who's coming out in college.
Yeah, and I don't think Zion Williamson is going to do anything to enhance their championship pursuit. Yeah, I mean, if he's healthy, he's obviously electric above the rim, and you know he can operate in fast break, and you get the right matchup in the half court. He can obviously abuse somebody in the post, and he's strong, and he still jumps out of the gym, but if you make the determination that he would elevate your team higher on the championship, which I disagree, well, then you've got to look at the money. He's due $39 million next year. He's due $42 the year after that. And in 27, 28, he's making $45 million.
Yeah.
And I mean, who are you trading?
No way.
Who are you getting rid of? Who?
No.
Who's moving?
No,
come
nobody.
On.
All right, before we get back to the calls, what's going on? I heard a little issue there during the break. Couldn't get a hair appointment. And you getting frustrated. I don't like to see that, my partner.
Yeah, I was getting a little frustrated.
What happened there? They couldn't get an
appointment? I've got a new non-frustrated mindset since January 1.
Yeah, nice.
You know, I get a little bit
I like
little,
the energy
little,
around
you
here.
Too, by the way.
Course.
You're a little more chill.
100%.
You know, my wife's like, you got to relax a little bit with everything. And I'm like, you know what? I think you're right. I actually feel great about it. Right. No. I was trying to get my son a haircut because we've got a big birthday.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you
didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Birthday parties that were taking 30 kids to the Seton Hall game, the St. John's game, but it's at Seton Hall.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah, what? What do you mean?
30
it's going to be awesome.
No, it's going to be great. I'm sure it is.
It's going to be phenomenal.
Cole's going to have a great time with the kids. I'm just saying 30 kids sounds
like a lot. I'm going to be calling the game. I don't have to watch them.
Not your problem.
Hey, put the Apple Watches on your kids' wrists.
You're not taking them or watching them. I'm not.
As a matter of fact, I'm going to have to leave early. We're going to have like pizza at the house. It's going to be a big day. It's going to be awesome.
Before,
like every kid.
You having pizza at the house before?
Yeah, just so they get something, because it's an 8 o'clock game. It's late.
It's a late game, okay.
And we even got them vouchers, like, you know, $15 voucher. You know, it adds up,
awesome.
Whatever. Each kid's got a white St. John's Nike shirt. So they're going to be on the court, by the way. St. John set this up where all 30 kids are going to be on the court, and they're going to make a human tunnel as St. John's runs onto the court.
That's going to be cool.
Yeah, but I'm just going to be calling the game.
Right,
you know, my wife
game.
And a couple of my good buddies in town and a few of the moms. There's going to be a lot of chaperones.
And you were trying to get Colt the fresh haircut.
Trying to get him a haircut. He wants the Aaron Judge haircut again.
And I overhear BT during the break, and I'm doing whatever I'm doing. You're getting ready to come back, and I hear, come on. You don't have anything 9 a.m. Saturday? It's too early.
What? Well, I started Thursday, 3:30, Thursday at 4. No, nothing. They have anything for, because I got to work around sports schedules. Too. You have anything on Friday? No, 3:34. No, all right. What do you have on Saturday? Well, I could do 3:30. I'm like, it's a little bit late. We're pushing this now. We're leaving at the arena at 5:30, whatever it is. He's like, 8 o'clock. I'm like, 8 o'clock? I'm going to be hungover. I'm actually going to have a couple of drinks that Friday night. Are you kidding me? So jumping through hoops to get a 10-year-old haircut.
Yeah. All right. Man. Just wanted to clarify, but we're all good now.
We got it.
Okay,
we
there you go. It. You got the appointment booked. Colt should have some fun. Looking forward to that. On Saturday night, BT and Sal on the Fan talking Pete Alonso and the Mets. Joe is calling from Middletown. What's up, Joe?
What's up, boys? How are you?
Hey, Joe.
What's up?
What's going on, man?
BT, you got to wake Sal up here. There's not one pitcher on the Mets staff as we speak. There's not one 20-game winner. Yankees have 3 potential 20-game winners.
Yeah, but they had none last year, and they still got to the World Series.
You can have so. Yeah, but the problem is this. The Met fan right now talking about Pete Alonso and Vladdy, those are all pipe dreams, guys. You're not getting Vladdy.
You said the same thing about Soto. You said the same thing about Soto,
he
Joe.
He did.
Yeah, but you know what? You have an $860 million anchor on your team.
Yeah, I know. He's a DH. He's out of shape. I've heard it all, Joe, and thank you for the call.
Look at you taking it in stride. It's a new sound.
Somehow I'll live with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Juan Soto puts a smile on my face, Joe. I don't think he does the same for you any longer. It's not a pipe dream. You know, all joking aside, BT, the reality is the Mets can get Vlad. Now, I'm not saying it's going to happen the way that I felt it was going to happen with Juan Soto. This is different. But according to Andy Martino, who is reporting that the Mets did inquire about Vladimir Guerrero Jr., and let's just deal with facts. They have not locked up their first baseman in Pete Alonso. They do not have a first baseman. The Blue Jays have not locked up or extended Vladimir Guerrero Jr. beyond the contract this year. Vlad gave them a deadline, first day of spring training, to get a contract extension done.
A couple weeks away.
Otherwise, he's not doing it. It's in play. It's not a pipe dream. It is a realistic opportunity for the Mets. Now, their pitching rotation is a different story. I'm not going to argue with that. Like, we also didn't think, all of us, Joe, you, me, BT, none of us thought the Mets had a good enough pitching staff a year ago, and yet they got to the NLCS.
That's
so,
true.
I mean, yeah. I thought it was awful, their pitching staff last year.
I did, too. As a matter of fact, I said it was going to be one of the worst in baseball. I got to give me the L chain, Ev. I'll wear it for that. I just leave it in the studio. I'll wear it tomorrow.
Right.
I got something that's a little fun here. Off the top of your head. And then we'll both, this is for the Yankees and the Mets. Because the Yankees are still a little incomplete. We're all wondering, is Jazz playing second? Is Jazz playing third? Did they mess around with Bregman? Do they do something else? Whatever. All right, and we know about the Mets plight with Pete and some other things in the rotation. What do you think? This was updated on January 7th, and nothing has transpired. Goldie was obviously before that. Nothing has transpired since the changes. The Yankees' projected win total, what do you think it is right now through FanDuel?
So I'd be lying. Oh, I don't know about FanDuel, but I saw this yesterday. We did something on Baseball Night in New York, so I have an idea. 93.5 was
you got
the number?
It. Okay. Now, it is, good job. Yeah. 93.5. Would you go right now where the Yankees are? Would you go over or under?
I actually think that's low. I would go over.
I do, too. I agree. I mean, think that's fairly low in that division.
Even if the Red Sox are better, and I still think the Red Sox are going to get Bregman.
Bregman.
I think the Red Sox will be good. I don't look at Baltimore the same way I did going into last year. Toronto's probably a dead team.
They haven't done anything, Baltimore.
The Rays weren't very good last year. Yes, I'm saying. So, like, I feel like the division's gotten worse, where you can argue. I hate to say the Yankees have gotten better because I don't truly believe that yet.
I think they have.
But they're more balanced. No question about it, they're more balanced. They may not be as potent offensively.
Although they'll be different. Yeah. They're going to have to get to their wins differently, for sure.
The Yankees, in their sleep, somehow win 90-plus games, like 93.5.
Yeah, and I don't always buy into it blindly, like, oh, they're the Yankees, they'll win. But, the division, the moves that they made, which I love.
The league.
I'd like one more. Yeah, the league in totality.
Let me ask you this before you get in the Mets real quick. What do you think, because I haven't answered, the one thing that could derail?
Judge injury.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. You just nailed it. Like, that's it. Now, last year, we couldn't say that because of Soto.
Mm-hmm.
Where you say at least they were more covered.
They dealt with Garrett Cole's injury, they were fine.
And they were fine in the rotation. So even if Cole, even more so this year with the insurance with Max Fried, even if Cole's not himself or he gets hurt, they still have Fried. So I'm not worried about their rotation. I'm certainly not worried about their bullpen. But last year, where they had the insurance and they didn't need it because Judge stayed healthy the entire year, if Judge goes down for an extended period of time, do they have enough without that main big force? Bellinger's good, and I think he's going to have a big year.
Mm-hmm.
He's not that guy. Soto was that guy.
Oh, he's not that guy. No, Bellinger can't shine Soto's shoes with that. There's no way. I would say that, depending upon, God forbid, the injury, like if it's season ending, season's probably over. I would say he missed a couple of months, I still think the Yankees could scrap together a wild card. Like, that win total goes into the high 80s. It's a drop. But I would even flip it, and then we'll give you the Mets here. I would flip it and say, you ask me what could derail their season, I would pose a different question. What could elevate their season more than anything? And you know what my answer is?
What?
Dominguez.
Yeah, right. Because even if Judge is down and Dominguez is what we thought he was going to be.
I don't know what he's going to be, but I would say if.
All right,
so the Mets. Did you do the Mets on
91.5?
No. I'm sorry. The Mets are 91.5.
Which, by the way, top five. I don't know what you have there, but Dodgers were like 102.5, which is absurd.
103.5.
Yeah, I mean, that's obscene. I'm not saying that they won't get it, but
they'll get it going. They'll fly through it.
Imagine going into a season where the over under win total is over 102.
That's crazy.
I mean, that's insane.
And then I look at the NL Central. And the highest one is the Cubbies at 85, and the second best is the Brewers at 82.5. So, but that also met.
I'm sorry, BT.
Yeah, go ahead.
The top five, I thought it was Dodgers.
I don't have it in order, but I'm looking at it.
Braves.
Dodgers. Braves are 94.5. Makes sense.
Yankees
would be third.
Mets.
Phillies are 92.5.
Right, so the point was three of the top five are in the NL.
That's why I worry about the Mets. You know, not as much as last year because, some things have been proven wrong. All right, well, would you bet Mets right now, what they have now, over under?
I would go under.
I probably would, too. I would, too, slightly. I would go under.
Yeah, I think they'll be.
I'd go under.
I think they'll be around it, but I can't definitively right now. Now, they will add. They're going to add another bat or two, and they will add a bullpen arm. But right now, with their division, even with Soto, I'm going under. And by the way, it doesn't matter because just get in. Like, it doesn't even matter anymore if you win the division. You saw what happened last year. Yeah, the Phillies won more games. That's great. The Mets knocked them off in four games in the postseason. So I would go under that win total. It's hard. Everything would have to go right. the way they're constructed currently, everything would have to go right to get to that number. I don't think it's a stretch.
I don't think it's I think I'm pretty much on the same page.
I'd probably go under. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. When we come back, we'll continue with your calls on Alonzo and the Mets and get to the Jets tweet from yesterday that could be telling. We'll get to that when we come back.
Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Fan's Call of the Day is brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey. And by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts. Let's go to Hector in Washington Heights. What's up, Hector?
Heck.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Now, before you get to your Pete stuff, BT, Hector was texting me. I guess he had an opportunity to be on the Sean Manaea conference call the other day.
Thanks for calling me back.
I didn't have time to call you back yet. It's been a couple of days, but why don't you just give us what happened now? And then he texted
me. He's like,
I feel like I'm about to cry. I screwed it up. What happened, Hector? Hit me with it.
I was lucky enough, someone who has the opportunity to go to these press conferences sometimes, invited to these Zooms, was invited. They couldn't attend, and they asked me to attend on their behalf. I went in there my first time, and I screwed up, and I didn't have the microphone on. I tried to speak, it didn't pick. Yeah.
Oh, they went to you? They went to you for
questions? Yes, they called my name. They said Hector Moquette 2 times. They waited. Then he said, we'll come back to you. They came back to me, and my dumb butt didn't.
Well, good, because you
were
sounding like a fanboy.
I'm already
Sean, thanks for coming back. Sean, thank God you came back. Oh, we needed you, Sean.
It was so fun playing catch with you at Central Park, Sean.
Shut up! Who both of you shut up?
Everybody gets a credential these days.
Hector,
I still want to know what he was doing on the call.
You're not kidding, BT. That was funny with our friend Hector. In case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. Couple things here before we say goodbye, or before we get to your calls and then say goodbye. Number one, Knicks Sixers tonight, no Embiid. He's out again. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
But he will be out again. I'll be into that game just because I hate the Sixers, so we'll see what the Knicks could do.
Yep.
Number two, did you see this tweet from Sean Marash? I heard you two. You were laughing. He was cackling out there before you came back from break. Yesterday, he tweeted out, today begins my second year semester as a professor at Iona.
We weren't laughing about this, but I did see this tweet. He's a professor.
Come on, dude.
Professor what?
Come on. To the students, let's have a great semester. To the teachers, I have to say this so I can poke fun at teachers saying that I'm one of you. Go Gales.
He's a pisser.
He is.
He's a pisser. But what?
He's a teacher?
No, he's a professor.
Moresh?
It's a little different.
Come on.
I think it's like a cop versus a detective. I think it's a higher grade.
So can I be one of these
I think you got to finish undergraduate first.
What does that mean?
I think you got to graduate college to teach college.
Really?
Yeah.
Like I couldn't even teach broadcasting?
Well, that you could do, but not at like...
Well, what is he teaching?
Hold on.
He's not teaching. He's going to be teaching broadcasting.
Quantum physics? No. I could be wrong. I don't think that you could teach at an accredited university or college.
Right.
I think you could teach at the Connecticut School of Broadcasting.
Right.
It's been very viable. That's how Joe made it. I'm not cutting it down. I almost went there back in the day, by the way.
I did go there.
Oh, you did? Then you're one of the star pupils.
I got to educate BT off the air as to why we shouldn't really be discussing that. The point is...
Oh, I think I know. What is Marash now?
Like,
well, all right. Well, okay. You got to look at this.
He's a professor.
So he's at Iona, right? What is he teaching?
What is he? I'm
going to take a wild guess here and say that Sean did not graduate with a degree, and yet he's still teaching.
I guarantee that Sean has a degree. I shouldn't guarantee it, but when you say degree,
you mean 4 years of college?
I guess it could be 2 years.
Can you ask him real quick, Hoff? Can you get him either?
It could be an associate's.
I'm curious to see if he either graduated. Well, I mean, I got some credits. I didn't finish my
How many credits did you get? How long did you go to?
Not enough. I went a couple different years.
A couple years? Okay.
I was in and out.
Yeah, I understood.
I was inconsistent.
Was that when your dad was sick, by the way?
No.
Oh, so you don't have that as an excuse. You just didn't want to go?
He's healthy, putting his foot up my ass. His boot in my ass. Get off the couch. You don't want to go to school? Get off the couch and go get a full-time job.
Dude, I got to be honest with you, man.
Enter Home Depot.
If I didn't play baseball and I wasn't worried about being eligible, I don't think I would have ever gone to school.
Yeah.
I think I would have gone and then just stayed in my dorm and played Sega and gone out every night and eventually failed out.
Where is he?
He's not outside, but according to a couple people outside, he does have a diploma.
Well, he's putting together his PowerPoint, probably is what he's doing for his next presentation.
Anyway,
of course he's got a degree.
More to come on that. I'd be curious what he teaches and where he went to school.
I would imagine communications. Yeah. I know he's teaching at Iona. What do you mean, okay?
Oh, it's okay, communications. Like, I don't need a diploma to teach that.
No, I think you do, though. I think you... Well, you might not think that you do, but I don't think Iona or anybody would let you in.
Oh, whatever.
Unless you have one.
Their loss. I don't want to teach anyway.
You don't think Sean would be a good teacher? I think he'd be a great teacher.
You know what he's most really famous do. For, right? On the air, do I need to remind you?
He basically took a dump on himself. Well, he can tell the students not to do that. There you go. Lesson learned. It's worth $50,000 at
Iona. He's trying to get attention. Yeah. Just pride yourself on the air.
Eat 37 wings in 3 minutes and become a radio star.
Love Marash. And he knew what he was doing by that. He really is a great guy.
Big fan. He's a good dude.
Anyway, okay.
And he's smarter than you think. Yes. I think Sean plays a little possum.
Okay, so last thing here. We wanted to get to...
He's not brilliant, but he's not a dummy.
Yeah, all right, we get it.
Anyway.
So we wanted to get to a Jets tweet from yesterday.
Can you explain this to me?
No, I was going to ask you to explain it to me. So they tweeted out, now who's running things? Is this Brick Johnson? Is this Woody Johnson?
I don't know. First of all, I am such a sucker. I get, you know, maybe I am gullible. Again, back to this, huh? So have you seen this new trend? If anybody can explain what this is, because I actually did it on my laptop and nothing happened. And then I did it on my phone and nothing happened. So all the teams, I saw the Mets do it. I don't think I've seen the Yankees do it, the Jets, and this is the first time I saw it. It says tap, hold, and load, and then whatever they want you to tap, hold, and load, and then it says in 4K. So me, like an idiot, look at this. I'm actually pressing it.
Right.
I'm holding. Nothing's happening.
It's not a touchscreen there.
That's not a touchscreen.
Okay,
so I'm like, well, let me
sure,
just go to my phone because that is a touchscreen. You know, when you want to quote tweet, it's okay. You can do that with it. So I do. Nothing happens. So first of all, I do need to know what the hell this latest thing is. But tell me in a minute. Aaron, if you're the Jets and you have no intention of bringing back Aaron Rodgers, why would you put from the verified New York Jets account, tap, hold, and load at Aaron Rodgers 12 in 4K in a Jets uniform if you have designs on moving on?
It would make me think that they haven't decided to move on. And now maybe that's their whole ploy, like, oh, we're going to let the head coach decide, but wink, wink, Woody really decided, and this is like their smokescreen.
Well, I hope that's not the case, because then they're not doing the job search right.
I want him back. And by the way that the job search, I think Costello had this yesterday, the way he lined it up was that they're going to narrow it down from the 500 people that they interviewed to maybe 5 or 6, whatever it is.
Oh, good, finally.
And,
okay.
But GMs, and then have the GM in place when they get to do the second round of interviews for the head coach. That's the way that you'd want to do it.
Okay.
That made some sense and some structure.
Go, Jets. And I told you they wanted a smart shop here.
Yeah. Then
honestly,
from there,
I like the search.
Then from there, they should go decide about Rodgers. But the idea that they would tweet out something about Rodgers to me at least gave some hope that maybe he's coming back. Which, by the way, earlier in the show when we were talking about the odds of where Rodgers was going to go, that's what made me say the Jets first, because I do think that there's something to that. Could be misreading it, but I think there's something to that.
Yeah, I mean, most people think it's Flores and Glenn. They're kind of running away with this, and I love both of those candidates. You didn't call McCarthy. I don't get that. You didn't call the Steelers to trade for Tomlin. I don't know why, but so you know where I stand on that. But I do like the two perceived front runners right now. If that's the case, I just hope they're not saying to Glenn, hey, listen, Rodgers is back. Hey, Flores, Rodgers. Like,
right, you don't
let
want to force
them jointly make the decision. I hope that they're doing that.
Agreed. Let's finish up with a call on Alonzo.
But wait, I never found out what this means. Tap, load.
It's just that when you download it, it's 4K.
I still don't know what that means.
Everything was in 4K.
No.
Is 4K new?
It's not new. It's newer,
I've got a 4K TV for 5 years.
I'm just saying that's what they're doing now.
That is a weird... I don't know what it means.
Okay. Let's get Adolfo in the Bronx on Pete Alonso, which has been the theme of the day. What's up, Adolfo?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Good.
Make it quick. Listen, I think the Mets are going to make a big, big mistake if we don't sign Pete Alonso. We need Alonso. Okay? Look at the Dodgers. The Dodgers are a powerful team. There's no team cannot compare with the Dodgers right now.
But what if you got Vladimir Guerrero Jr. instead? Adolfo.
Everything.
Adolfo, what if you got Vladimir Guerrero Jr. instead?
What's that?
What if you got Vladimir Guerrero Jr. instead?
Okay, yeah, but we still need more. Well, okay.
What?
We still need more.
Well, would you rather have Alonso
or Guerrero? More.
Would you rather have Alonso or Guerrero Jr.?
Why don't you ask him in 4K?
Starting to lose my cool here. I was about to throw the pen through the window. Settle down, Pitbull.
You've been on a good roll here. Happy. We like Happy Sal. We like Cordial Sal.
And by the way, his answer could have been he'd rather have Alonso, sure, but that's what we're talking about here. I personally rather have Vladdy. All right, that does it for us. Been a fun show, BT. Back at it again tomorrow. Week is flying by. Back at it 10 a.m. on the Thursday. Thanks to Dove. Thanks to Hop. Thanks to everybody who listened and called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Evan and Tiki and the Professor Marash. They're coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow at 10 a.m.